time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I am Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And before we get going on the next topic, we actually have a couple corrections to make from last week's episode. I said that the Flexen Records were released in 1911, and they were actually released a year prior in 1910. And I did also say that all of the holistic teaching schools were closed up by 1925, and I believe there were still two remaining at that time. So, you know, we always want to be transparent here. As we said last week, you know, who do you trust? We want to correct ourselves when we don't get it right, because we are by no means perfect people.
I want to be trustworthy. I guess I did my own little goof. I said that Rockefeller, I referred to him as a founder. He's more like a framer. There's some other guy that founded the AMA, but he certainly has reshaped the AMA as we know it today. And so he is not a founder. He's more like a framer of what we have today. So that does play into our next thing, right? So
if you could change the world, how would you do it? Or construct your own reality of what the world would look like, what would that be?
You know, Eric Clapton, I think he popularized that song. I think others have sung it as well, but he's kind of the guy who's got, at least in my mind, burned in. I saw a movie, it's an old one. It's a movie with John Travolta. It's called Phenomenon. And it was really, really good. I want to say it's like 20 years old. But Eric Clapton's song plays in the background as the credits roll, If I Could Change the World. And so I've had that song kind of stuck in my head ever since Friday.
Yeah. What are some things, I mean, if you could kind of construct a vision of how you would see the world, or a reality of in which you view things, what are some things that you would find ideal?
I can never escape the schematic of my mind. When the moment you ask the question, I want to ask from which vantage point, selfishly or... Because then listen, I mean, we all have that filter, right? Am I going to change the world for me, or am I going to change the world better for others?
Sure.
Right? So if I'm going to be selfish, I think, gosh, that's so hard. I try not to
take a pretty current picture of what it looks like.
I try not to think that way, because I don't want to ever feed that selfish monster. You know what
sure.
I mean? That's hard. I guess I want to be comfortable. I want to be as comfortable as I can be. And everyone that I love, which I try to love everybody, I want them to be comfortable too. I want everyone as much as possible to be happy and comfortable.
I think that's a pretty good general sense for all of us, I would say, because, I mean, who doesn't want what's best for their loved ones and for themselves ultimately, you know?
Yeah. How about you?
I would
selfishly,
I would have to say I have a schematic heart and mindset myself, and I would generally agree with exactly what you just said. You know, I would want those closest to me to be taken care of, my friends, my family, you know, let's have it for us. And, you know, but you kind of look at what the world looks like today, and that's, I would say, pretty much the mindset of most of us, and look at where we're at.
Okay, yeah. So before we get into where we are, current reality, what if you did it for others? Forget about you. You didn't bend anything for your personal benefit. So don't do what our current leaders do. Do it. You're solely doing it for the people. What would you do?
I mean, you would do things like give people all of the information instead of just half of it, and you would... Things that are available in abundance would be shared abundantly, and they wouldn't be made to cause, you know, chaos. They wouldn't be used for chaotic situations or control. They would be used for people to live and create and be for God.
I have a hard time, you know, I think about the framers of our country and what they sought to create. And the little bit that I know, I think of what brilliance. It had to be divine. God had to play a divine role in helping them frame the Constitution as we have it. But they did create as much as possible a country where those who want to do good can.
Absolutely.
And made there to be an incentive to thrive and succeed. And for those who don't have that drive, you know, you don't reward them. And I think that's part of it. Because if I could do it where I wasn't thinking about me, but I was thinking about not only the present, but a sustainable future, You want a society where everyone also not only benefits, but everyone contributes. And the sad reality is not everyone will, because some people just won't.
Yep.
So what do you do? That's probably the hardest thing. What do you do with the people who just want to leech? You know what I mean?
I think you have people who have been taught that way, as in, like, this is what you do to live and survive on the bottom fringes of society. You know, teach a man how to fish analogy to where a different perspective or reality is taught. I think people want to be part of a contributing society. And then you have on the other side, the people at the highest end who leech from everyone and are masters of exactly what they're doing.
They have crafted their evil, man.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you're right. I think the vast majority, we're talking 90 percentile, I think, of people want to contribute to the overall benefit of others, even though they have a selfish intrinsic desire to give it to themselves first. There's still in almost all of us is a desire to give back, but there are those exceptions. And, you know, can you imagine, like, let's just go down the scary road, the serial killer, right? These people who just are bent on evil and don't just want to consume. They want to destroy. And they're often very intelligent. I mean, their profile is frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes good looking, whatever. They're people that we'd be attracted to. Could you imagine if such a person rose to a prominent place of power, was able to carte blanche with immunity or with the flex of the law in their favor, what they could possibly do to our society?
Things like silent weapons for silent wars.
Yeah. I mean, it's... You. I don't know how you can look at the news. There's two sides of this. Okay, let me just back up. There's two sides of this. You look at the world, and you look at our country and what's happening right now, and you have to go, okay, is this incompetence, or is this on purpose?
I would have to agree.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I mean, you can really, you see all across the board the things that are happening, and there's no conscious effort to make any repair. I mean, we've got wide open borders. We've got chaos rioting. We've got unemployment going up. We've got inflation going up. We've got the cost of energy going up. We've got the cost of food going up. I mean, it's total chaos. It's like it's being ignored, like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's not that the cries aren't being made or heard. It's just there's no reaction. It's like a body with no immune system. You know what I mean? It's like if the country were a body, what are we doing to resolve that which will destroy us? This outside viral bacterial infection. And in large part, what I mostly see is it's a whole lot of nothing. Just, you know, go to the printing press and print more money.
I think it's a very good way to look at it would be those who normally give us the problem and the solution have now been given a problem that they give you no reaction to. To the contrary, whenever they give us a problem, we often react exactly as they hope we will. And then they introduce the solutions that usually have a not so good impact for us.
Let me try and back up. Let's try and reframe this discussion. Just go with me on this. Let's go back. Let's get away from our current model that we are all probably mostly unhappy with, mostly because we're getting more and more uncomfortable, right? I think we can all agree on we're getting more and more uncomfortable with certain aspects, and each of us are feeling different pressure points at different intervals, depending on where you live and your socioeconomic position, blah, 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 right? Back up a little bit, and let's go back to the beginning, Genesis. You know, we learn from Genesis 1:26 and 9:2, God is very clear that he has put man here on earth, given him dominion not only over the creative things that he ordered, the creatures that we call life. In addition, he gave us control of the earth. What he's allowed us to do is craft a world, a society, a culture of our own making. So that song, if I could change the world, no, we are. We are all influencing the world we live in on the micro and on the macro. All of us are, not just the people at the top, all the way down to the very bottom. Every decision you make impacts not just you, but the people in your household, you're affecting your neighbors. Like, I won't pick on too many of my neighbors, but like when they get their little boom box out and just want to play basketball, I know the songs they're playing. You know why? They got it turned too loud, and they're just playing to their own heart content, you know, hearing their own song with all the F-bombs and whatever else that are happening in the song. And I'm sitting here trying to enjoy some peace in my house, and I can't because I got to listen to his music until he's done because he's got it so loud. But he has no idea the decisions he's making are impacting me. You see my point?
Yep.
And I think for most of us, we live in that reality. We are oblivious to how our personal decisions not only affect us.
For sure. And you start changing those little decisions each day. Well, kind of like, you know, wins and losses. You take those little series of wins or positive improvements or changes, and it works the other way too, a little series of losses, and they turn into a big one way or the other.
It's a cascading effect, that whole snowball thing down the hill, right? It gets bigger and bigger.
And, I mean, you start making the decisions, the little good decisions, and all of a sudden you start seeing the big good decisions come back to you, because then, you know, you put out good and you find good is what's around you.
God entrusted us the capability to reshape the world. Not just, we're talking plants, and we're talking life as we know it, down to countries, culture, the world. And so I guess the big thing about this, it's really, really neat, and that's really cool to think about, but that's also really scary, because we are shaping the world. And here's the other part that I think most of us haven't grown out of. We still treat election years kind of like, I don't know, the best way to look at it is we're voting for who's homecoming king and queen. You know what I mean? It's this big popularity thing, and we're not really concerned about their character, their person. It's just who's going to look
history
good for
them. Of what they've done while in politics.
We're just more concerned about the right now and who's going to look best in that gown and in that the tuxedo, right? So we want someone who's going to look good for the pictures.
I'm not even sure that it's so much that's what we're concerned with as that's what we're told to be concerned with. People are just given, oh, this person's loved. This person's loved. It's who you should love. Everybody else loves them. And then you think, well, I don't want to be different than everyone else, so I love this person too.
We have no idea the ways in which our thinking has been shaped by our culture. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes. And it's like we never grew up out of high school, and you know, especially today, kids aren't taught how to think. You hear this all the time.
They're
taught
what to think.
What to think. And I think we, honestly, as adults, are we any different?
No. We're not.
We're not thinking. And so, again, back to this whole reality, we have been given the opportunity to craft a world around us. And so stop and think about this. The people that we've allowed to be in power. Maybe you didn't choose them. Maybe they are there by somebody else's choice. But they still serve there by our compliance.
And they have been for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so have the descendants of their families.
To some degree, even if you don't want them there, you capitulated somewhere or still are. And so that's why they're still in positions they shouldn't be in, as they are shaping the world according to their values, according to their mission, according to their end game. And frankly, I don't think most of us know what that end game is. I've heard of this number thrown around, like 2030, some kind of 2030 agenda.
Like an agenda, yeah. I've heard of that too.
People should kind of cue in on that buzzword and look that up, because
see who's behind it.
Yes, the current leaders are telling you what they're aiming for. And I think most of us, that 90%+, assume that whatever that end game is
to our benefit.
Yes.
And
it's not.
No. Well, and I think that those in charge always tell us what's going to happen. We just, like you just said, we think that they're working for us and they're working for themselves.
I try like everybody else to put a positive spin, you know, like we do with our photos we put on social media. We crop it, you know, and cut the things out that we don't want to look at. But
that's actually a really good, speaking of photos, and people are visual learners, I think a very good way to look at this would be as if the pyramid of society were flipped upside down. Like if we could just flip that pyramid back the way it should be.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure about that.
I think we got something. If we could figure that one out, man, we would really have something. But I know this. When you read Micah chapter 3, what you find in this chapter is it's not a new thing for leaders to misuse their power, whether we're talking presidents, hey, or my position, preachers, to misuse the position they've been given for personal benefit and to make it so that they can twist everything that was once straight and make it crooked for themselves. And they accept bribes and injustice and in the end misuse the authority and power they were given for their own personal benefit to the destruction of others.
Well, then a slight change of word makes a big difference. No doubt about it.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it's not a new issue. It's an old issue. But we've got to wake up and we've got to step up and we've got to do our homework, not just walk in there and, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo when we we vote for people.
Well, and that's how this restoration, I guess, or maybe the flipping of the pyramid, maybe here's a good idea to get started with would be, this seems to be one on paper to where we reestablish the rights we have and the powers that we have as the people as one. And when we, you know, we are united, there's nothing stronger.
So I guess
God himself.
Right. Well, it's under his hopefully direction and guidance that we operate under, right? That's
exactly
what we're pursuing. So I know that we're not all necessarily in that paradigm, but you know,
we all have God-given rights, don't we? We're in that paradigm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And use them well. I guess that's the whole thing is, you know, we can fuss all day long about the people who are over us now who are misusing their power and position and influence for evil. But here's the big question that all of us need to answer. How are you using your influence right now? Because you've got some as well.
And we're honestly equally as guilty for
Absolutely.
Being complacent and letting it happen.
Of course,
they're going to keep on taking until someone says no.
I feel horrible shame and guilt for my own inaction because I'm selfish like everybody else. And there's things I want to just do in my day. And I don't want to take the time to call this person, call that person, that congressman or whoever. And feel like I'm going to sit on hold for nothing.
Yep, to have my voice not even really heard.
So and so, by the way, I did hear that emails are the better way to go because
they're on record forever.
Yeah, they're on record. They're part of the permanent record. Unlike a phone call, they get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're trying to make a difference, but you should be. You need to realize on the micro and macro, you are making an impact. Your decisions every day affect not just you, but everyone around you as we together build a world, a better world, or hey, a worse one. Stop blaming God for the decisions that we've made or didn't make.
Exactly right. And I think, we make, once again, we all make a little difference and we're all going to see a big difference created.
Time to step up, people. Step up and take the reins we were given and let's craft something and change the world for the better.
And wake up. Start thinking again.
Yeah, because if we don't, what happens?
You know, we're headed to a place of not good.
Not good at all.
Not good.
I don't think any of us want that reality, right?
If we continue to be asleep, by the time we wake up, it's going to be much too late.
They are taking us somewhere. And I am one person who represents a majority. I believe we do not want to go there. It's time we all stand up and say no.
This has been Blindly Obvious. As always, visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on our podcasts, as well as find out a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.